thought that this would be a good time of the course to do a little case study. Now, this isn't about me just give you this case study and then you go and try and figure out how you're going to fix this person. This is going to be more of a dialogue where together we're just going to converse through the situation that Amanda, our case subject, is going through. Just building upon what I shared with you in that last clip, facts, feelings, and faith. All right, I want to just build this word into the course now. I mentioned the word discernment earlier on, all right? This is where we discern what's true from what isn't true when a person is sharing with us their story, all right? And this is pretty much the framework we can use to really help us to become more discerning. Remember, sometimes people will give voice to that which they think is true, that which they feel is true, which might not always be what actually is true. Remember, our perception isn't always reality in life. So sometimes people will respond more to the greatest fears of what they think is going to happen than what actually has happened or what is happening or what actually will happen. All right. So sometimes the greatest problem that people have is just their expectations, their faith-based, future-based expectations. You with me? So, and part of the coaching process, this is something that I like to do very, very early on, is work with the clients to get established on what the facts actually are about their problem or issue or goals or why they are stuck. Because if we can just help them to become clear on what the problem isn't, then this can give us a far greater foundation for building a coaching relationship upon. Are you with me? So what we'll do here, we'll read through the case study first and foremost, and then I'm going to go through and highlight parts of the case study that are just simply facts, some parts that are just faith, future-based expectations, other parts that are just feelings-based, all right? But what you'll hopefully be able to see at the end is how all three of these aspects of life get merged into our overall perception. Are you with me? So this is some quite deep stuff, all right? But I really want you to grasp this because this is kind of the difference that will really enable you to make that difference when you start dissecting these three aspects of human experience from each other. So, what I'm going to do, when I'm coming across a fact, I'm going to underline it in red. All right, if I'm coming across anything that is just a faith, future-based expectation, I'll underline it as yellow, and with feelings, I'll underline feelings as green. So we can start dissecting what's going on for Amanda. Amanda is 39. Fact, she's been divorced for 6 years. Fact. And she hopes to find a new life partner. Right, well that's might very well be true, but it's actually more of a faith-based expectation. She hopes to find a new life partner at some point in the future, all right? So that's definitely a faith-based expectation. She's tried a few local dating events, networking groups, etc. She's even tried a few online dating sites. So that's gonna be more fact. She's tried a few local dating events, networking groups, she's even tried a few online dating sites. So that's the facts. We're starting to get grounded on where she's at and what she's actually already doing. Remember, we can't coach anyone in life who isn't going anywhere. You can't guide or steer a stationary ship. All right, so what I'm going to be identifying here is that Amanda is proactive. All right, she's actually doing something, which is very, very good sign. She's not just stopped dead in her tracks, hoping that the universe is going to, you know, bring her all these things that she wants. The problem is that she's quite self-conscious about the meeting new people process. Right. The problem is that she's quite self-conscious. Self-conscious is going to be, if you think about what self-consciousness is, especially if this is a problem for her, if we're self-conscious about meeting new people, well, she's going to be self-conscious. She's most likely going to be apprehensive or scared of being perceived in a negative light or in a way that she isn't. What I would understand and see this as, she's petrified of being misjudged, misunderstood, or rejected by people before they even come to know her. Well, that's a perfectly normal fear, isn't it? But when we're operating inside of a fear like this, it can feel quite an overwhelming one. So on an empathic level, I'm now doing my best to put myself in Amanda's shoes, and I'm kind of really looking to understand her perspective, where she's coming from, and what her problem actually is. Because sometimes people won't give voice to what a problem actually is for them, what a sticking point actually is. They'll give us a little bit of context, a little bit of story. Then as coaches, it's our role to discern what the truth of the matter actually is, so we can start getting down to the facts and the nitty-gritty. Now, I want to break this down here just a little bit. I'm just sharing with you how my mind works, how I process people's situations and stories, right? So the problem is they're just quite self-conscious. Right, that is definitely a feeling. This is a problem. The problem is that she's quite self-conscious about the meeting new people process. All right, meeting new people process. She's quite self-conscious about the meeting new people process. Well, this is kind of future-based. She's nervous about something that hasn't yet happened. Now, she might have had some experiences in the past, but they're over and done with. What she seems to be apprehensive here is about this process ongoing, moving forward. So this is kind of faith, future expectation based. So let's highlight this yellow about the meeting new people process. She's apprehensive about this because she's not doing it right now. Therefore, she's apprehensive about doing this at some point in the future. And she doesn't do this so well. She doesn't do this so well. Now, this is an interesting little bit here. I'm going to use a different colour here that isn't on the board, blue. She doesn't do this so well. This is the curveball. Now, what Amanda is going to tell you, Amanda will tell you that this is a fact, right? She doesn't do the meeting new people process particularly well, perhaps where she's not had any success in the past, but this is just her perception. This is just her opinion. If you were to ask Amanda a couple of questions, such as, says who, or compared to who, or, and who told you that you don't do this so well? Or is there a certain criteria that one must reach in order to do the meeting new people process well? When we start asking questions like this and dissecting people's beliefs and worldviews and opinions, they start falling apart pretty sort of quickly. But we don't want to address this, especially at this stage, all right? This is just a belief that Amanda has that is obviously going to be quite limiting. She doesn't do this well. Because she believes that she doesn't do this well, of course, she's going to be quite self-conscious about the future process. You with me? All right, is this making sense so far? Right? We can take a story at face value and just say, okay, this is what it is, but it's only when we really start dissecting it, breaking it down, discerning what's true from what isn't true, that we can start to understand the clients. You with me? Which comes with experience, my friends, all right? It took me quite a few years to become as discerning as this. So let's get back to the facts. She stopped going to these events. That's a fact. But she doesn't have an alternative strategy to meet new people or meet her future Mr. Right just yet. She doesn't have a strategy just yet. Okay, that's a fact. She doesn't have a strategy that works for her just yet. Now, what I want to just disclose here is what my goal throughout, if I was, you know, having this conversation with Amanda, my goal would not be, okay, how am I going to solve your problem with you? You know, how am I going to solve your problem? How am I going to find this strategy for you? That's not our role as life coaches. Our role as life coaches is just simply to extract what it is that our clients actually want to do and then encourage and guide them through the process of taking their first action step, the second action step. I'll share with you a really cool coaching framework later in the course. This is just about really dissecting and breaking down the first conversation that we're going to have with potentially a new client. Amanda is disheartened. Well, this is a feeling problem, isn't it? Can you see? And you'll start seeing this now. She's disheartened and she's ready to give up hope. Right, so what would you say hope ties in with? Is this a fact, is it a feeling, or is it a future-based expectation, i.e. faith? She's ready to give up hope. If she's ready to give up hope, then what we could reword this is she's running out of faith, something like that. All right, so we know it's a faith-based issue. We know that she's going to have, she's going to be running out of hope because up until now, her expectations of what she hoped she was going to find most likely haven't kind of tallied up with what she's actually gone on to find. So remember, just remind you of the idea I shared a few times up until now, and this is that in life we're never disappointed by what we actually find in people or events or things or situations. We're only ever disappointed when our expectations aren't met. Our expectations are always going to be future faith based. You with me? Right, so now, money isn't a problem for her. Well, I'm going to use the blue one, the blue pen here, all right? Money isn't a problem for her. Again, this is going to just be pretty much her perception. It's going to be her worldview, her belief. Now, remember, in life, sometimes we can have absolutely loads. We could have, you know, millions of pounds or millions of dollars in the bank and be worried about losing what we have. Sometimes we could have peanuts, you know, absolutely nothing in the bank, but yet be completely content. So what I'm going to say is our relationship to money is very much going to be determined by how we relate to money, which is a conversation for later on in the course. So money's not a problem for her, but that's what she's saying. That's not a problem right now. She's doing great professionally, which is fantastic. And this is how she sees herself operating professionally. Her home-based adult tutoring business is thriving. All right, fantastic. So that's just how she sees this other aspect of her life. She's given us a little bit more context now. So what I'm looking at is a fact. All right, she's given voice to her perception. I want to look now at her perception in terms of factuality. So money isn't a problem for her. Fantastic. The fact is that she doesn't have any financial concerns. She doesn't have any work-based professional concerns. Her home-based business is thriving, which means that if it's a home-based adult tutoring business, then adult tutoring involves relating well to other adults, which means that she has a strategy here in a professional context for relating well to new people that she meets. Are you with me? So from a sneaky coaching perspective now, what I'm thinking is, right, all we need to establish, all right, is what she's doing here in this context that she isn't doing here. Because if we can transfer the attitude or the process that she applies to our business to a social setting, then we can realistically expect to get the same or a similar set of results. But nine times out of ten in life, isn't it just true that we sometimes focus more on what we don't have than on what we do? We sometimes get all caught up in the voids and the deficits in our lives, and we sometimes take that which we have for granted. So sometimes the greatest problems that we have are actually just perceived problems. They're not actually actual problems. But here, as we go on now, Amanda just had her confidence damaged after separating from her first husband. Ah, bingo. Now we're getting to the nitty gritty, aren't we? She's had her confidence damaged after separating from the first husband. So separating from her first husband, we know that's a fact, whom she still thinks about frequently. And now she's being honest as well. So she still thinks about frequently. Interesting. She just had her confidence damaged after. That's definitely a feeling, isn't it? She had her confidence damaged after separating from her first husband, who she still thinks about frequently. So the questions that I'm going to be asking myself now as a life coach, right, if she still thinks about her ex-husband frequently, then she's most likely going to be going into these local dating events, networking groups, etc., all right, still thinking about her husband. Where the focus goes, the energy flows, and we can really only focus on doing one thing well at any one given moment in time. So if she's still focusing and thinking about her husband frequently, then that would probably lead me to suggest she's not going into the dating scene wholeheartedly. Are you with me? She's still clinging on to something from her past. Now, I'm not saying this is in a positive way or a negative way. It's just going to lead me further down the coaching relationship to ask a few more questions, such as, is there no way back? Do we know for certain that there's no way back? If there was a way forward, you know, in this past relationship, what could a first step be? What could a second step be? You know, are the bridges burned completely? Is there any, even the remotest chance of reconnection, reconciliation in this relationship? Because it seems that she hasn't quite got over it just yet. So we're just dissecting the initial presenting problem. That's all we're doing. We're not looking to resolve anything here. I just want to share with you how it is that my mind would be processing what she's sharing with me. But as you can see now, we've got quite a mixed concoction here, don't we? Of facts, faith-based expectations, and feelings. And incidentally, it's the feelings that she would see as being the main problem in her life. So the problem is the feelings. The problem doesn't seem to be so much the facts. Amanda's worst fear is being left on the shelf. My goodness, I hope this is green. Is this green? Yes, it is. Her worst fear is being left on the shelf. And she fears that she'll never have the opportunity to start the family that she always dreamed of. Right. Now, in conclusion, this is the issue, isn't it? The worst fear of being left on the shelf. All right, when is this going to be an issue for Amanda? Right, her worst fear is being left on the shelf. Where does fear live? Right, well, fear lives in us, but what is it that we can be fearful of in life? We can't be fearful of anything that's already happened. We can only be fearful of not having our expectations or our hopes met. All right, so Amanda is fearful of being left on the shelf at some point in the future, and she's also fearful that she'll never have the opportunity to start the family that she always dreamed of. And she's still thinking about her ex-husband. She's not ready to give up just yet, but she's coming close. Why is she coming close to giving up? She's most likely coming close to giving up because she's not had her expectations met up until now. Therefore, if she's of the mindset that the past equals the future and she's doomed to experience more of in the future that which she's experienced in the past, well, of course, this is going to lead a person to want to give up hope. She's come to you for some life coaching. What do you do next? What do you do next? I've just actually given you an example. I've given you a demonstration. What I do when I'm having a conversation with a client, especially in the early stages, I will just ask my client's permission if I can take notes, and I'll just simply have three columns on a bit of paper, all right, so I can write down what I am hearing as being facts and feelings and faith-based issues. So we can go back and we can reevaluate them and just simply critique them objectively. Some of the questions that we can use to critique some of that which our clients are going to be sharing with us, I'll share with you in the communication skills section of the course. Believe it or not, this is just a very, very simple process. But for now, this is pretty much all I really wanted to demonstrate onto you, all right? What I'm going to urge you to do now, though, all right, is at some point in the next couple of days, if you can, go for a conversation with someone. Do you have a friend or a family member or a loved one or a colleague or something like this who you know is going through a tough time at the moment? And if so, would you be willing to invite them for a coffee and just ask them to tell you all about their problems? Tell them that you're working through a life coaching program at the minute and that you'd like to practice something on them. It's just simply to get you practicing, discerning, and separating facts from faith-based expectations from feelings, right? Because where people have problems in life is generally always going to be to do and related to their feelings. They're always going to have feelings about their future expectations either being met or not being met. When we are thinking and focusing on our future-based expectations being met, we'll generally get excited about these sorts of things, unless, of course, the future expectation is negative by nature, in which case we're going to most likely feel fear, apprehension, angst, or something like that. And this is kind of all that's going on with Amanda right here. But when we get grounded in the facts, all right, as life coaches, this is kind of what we can really start building upon. We know that Amanda doesn't have problems here on a professional context. She doesn't have problems working with her clients. Her business is doing well. So we just need to figure out and establish how it is that she's relating to people on a professional level that she's not relating to people on a personal level. And then we just simply invite Amanda to identify the first couple of steps that she could take to start relating to people in the same way that she is doing down here, and that should be the problem solved. It might not be as simple as that, because in truth, the issue that Amanda really generally has is going to be more to it's going to be more to do with what she believes about herself on an identity level, all right, which we're going to be unpacking and exploring shortly. So there's no solution here. It's not like I'm fixing anything, we're not solving any problems. This is just about simply critically unpacking people's stories from an objective perspective. That's it. Some people might be feeling quite frustrated right now. Okay, and how are we going to fix this? How are we going to resolve this? All right, and the truth of the matter is we're not going to resolve this at all. This is about us developing our critical thinking skills, all right, so we can look at people's stories from a far more objective perspective. We have got to do this as life coaches. Why? Because 9 times out of 10, our clients are going to be completely drowning or completely immersed in their own subjective experience. So when clients come to us, we're offering them that second set of eyes, that level of accountability to help them identify and just explore areas of their life that they perhaps might not have looked at until now. So I hope you found this interesting. This is just how I would approach a life coaching client coming to me with their issue. And it's not like there's really a right or a wrong way here. This is just how I would do things. So I hope you've found this interesting. All right, go and find a person to have a conversation of this nature with, and I'll see you again in the next clip.